Let's do this.
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people.
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman, and we are underway. And a lot to talk about today. A lot of Packers, of course, as it is a Football Friday. Packers, Falcons. What does it mean? What will it tell you? We'll get into all that as well throughout the morning. Michael Cohen to join us at 8:20. We will hear, if you did not hear our interview with Jermichael Finley yesterday, you will bring that to you in about 12 minutes. Very good stuff from the tight end yesterday, and good to talk to Don Majkowski yesterday and just get some more inside info in what it's like to be a part of the relationships between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. And one thing that I think is very interesting, Chuck, and we'll talk about this hour as well, is the fact that Mike McCarthy, after getting fired on Sunday, came back to the facility on Tuesday to talk to the coaches, asked the coaches if he could talk to the players. They all said yes. So then he came back on Wednesday. So he's been to Lambeau. He's been to Lambeau 50% of the days this week since he got fired, which it is, it's weird. It's different. I suppose it's also a cool thing to do and a respectful thing to do, but it is, it's just something. It's just, to me, it's just, it's weird. It's a weird thing.
I mean, it's odd. It's something that they usually don't do, or in pro sports or college sports. Once you get that pink slip, you're out the building, and you never get a chance to say goodbye, no matter who you are. And he came back Tuesday and asked Murphy and Gutekunst, and they had to have some trust in McCarthy, knowing that he was not going to talk to the team and talk disparagingly about the front office or Philbin or anything like that, or any other coaches on the staff. And I probably McCarthy gave him that assurance. And again, they had some faith that he was not going to do that. So, good for them. I mean, the Packers allowed that. I was telling you yesterday, I thought that, you know, it just, when a coach gets fired, you never have closure. You're around for 13 seasons and you just played a tough game. You coached at a tough game. You lost a heartbreaking game where basically your season's over. And then, you know, 15 minutes later, you're saying, they're telling you, hey, get out of the building. Get out of the building. And so I thought that was a nice gesture, and you know, it turned out to be pretty cool. They gave us a couple of standing ovations in there. I saw Randall Cobb had some nice things to say about McCarthy. He sure didn't want to back him up on Sunday after the game when Cobb was asked about the offense being stagnant, and Cobb was talking, you know, nonsense about that's above his pay grade and all that. But you know, he didn't have his back on Sunday, but he, you know, kind of went to his defense yesterday.
That's what we talked about a little bit on Bill Michaels' huddle last night. We were out at Maxwell's in Cedarburg, and if you missed any of it, this is how it ended.
That's it. We're done. Thank God.
So you can only imagine what the program was like with myself, Paul Emig, and Bill Michaels.
What would that mean? That could mean a number of different things.
We were all pretty tired.
Okay.
It's been a long week, has it not?
Oh, yes. Absolutely,
talking,
man.
Talking a lot of Packers. Week.
I mean, it happened, it started Sunday, you know, after the game when it was game on and they announced that the McCarthy was not coming back. And it was like, okay, Monday show's going to be a little different than other past Monday shows after Packers, where we're not recapping the game. We're talking about the firing of McCarthy. And then, yeah, it's been going through that whole saga this whole week. And
yeah, we still haven't recapped the game.
No, just Mason Crosby's missed a field goal. But
do you want to recap the game?
No. I mean, that kind of gets pushed under the rug, obviously, and it shouldn't. I mean, that was one of the biggest upsets in the NFL this season. At, when I say upsets in terms of the point spread, Packers were a 14-point favorite going in, and they lost outright at home.
Yeah, and guess what? They're a 5-point favorite this weekend again.
Yeah. Well, you know, basically because it's home. If it was in Atlanta, might be a different story.
Well, you just came off a coach firing.
Yeah. And you know what happens, as we always say, after a coach firing or a managerial firing, that team usually plays well in its first game coming back, and most cases wins. Yeah, I mean, that's usually the case. I mean, all the way back to forever, as I can remember. When a coach or a manager has been fired, man, that team usually comes out and shows some fight, at least in its first game.
We'll do our predictions at 8 o'clock. 7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about a little more about this game and the problem that I'm struggling with. And we talked about this a little bit last night, too, and we've dabbled with it on the show, is if Rodgers plays a really good game, what is that going to tell you? Is that going to motivate you? Is that going to excite you? Is that going to annoy you or frustrate you? And then how much Aaron Rodgers should we expect to see the rest of the season? We'll talk about that in the 7 o'clock hour. 8:20, right after we do our Packer predictions at 8, we'll talk to Michael Cohen, and then we'll do our week 14 picks coming up at 9. You're already $50 down to Cody as the Tennessee Titans destroyed Jacksonville last night.
But overall, I'm still 25 ahead of Cody because he was down 75 to me.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, he was there. Yeah, that was a big one for Rhodes.
Wow.
Yeah, because we let we go like $100 either way when it gets to $100 that we pay each other, and so he won that game last night, and he didn't have to give me so we're back to $25.
The big story last night was Derrick Henry, 17 carries, 238 yards, including a 99-yard touchdown run, 1 of 4, nearly got 5. They went for it on a 3rd and goal, didn't get it to him, and then the 4th and goal, they threw it. But 4 touchdowns for Derrick Henry, who was fantastic, and if you started him in fantasy, you're rewarded. See, Chuck, this week is the first week of the fantasy football playoffs, and so Derrick Henry's a guy that you have on your roster, and you really only start during the bye weeks because you don't know what the backfield situation's like in Tennessee. Will it be Deion Lewis this week? Will it be Derrick Henry? So a lot of people rostered him and didn't start him last night. I think the worst thing about if you went against him would be if you had him and didn't start him. But he had a big night last night for Tennessee. We'll do our picks at 9 o'clock. 799-1250.
When I see a long touchdown like that, and that was a record tying, I think back to, it always draws me back to, like Adrian Peterson ripped off a 90-yard touchdown run the other night for Washington. When a guy gets a 99-yard touchdown run, I go back to, you know, the Packers had a 99-yard touchdown back in the 90s on Monday Night Football, playing the Bears. Remember when Favre hit, I think it was Robert Brooks, for a 99-yard touchdown pass on Monday Night Football. And I remember we were doing our show from the bar that day, and man, the bar exploded on a 90 against the Bears at Soldier Field, a 99-yard touchdown pass by Favre.
What was their longest run ever? Do you know that offhand? Who had the Packers' longest run? Because that was a pass.
There might have been. I remember I was at a game, my first Packer game ever in 1978. Trudell Middleton did have the record for a 78-yard touchdown run against the Lions that day, which moved the Packers to 6-2-1, and they still missed the, or 6-2, and they still missed the playoffs.
How long was the rush?
It was 78.
Okay.
That might have been broken along the way. Maybe an Amon Green run, or I don't know. It's probably out there somewhere. But I remember Middleton, 78. It was a county stadium. I was 11 years old. It was the first Packer game I had ever gone to.
We'll find it here. Right now, let's talk to Timmy in Fredonia, 799-1250. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, my normal time. Chuck, it was the Packer run was a 99 or 98-yard run. It was Amon Green against the Denver Broncos, I think, in 04.
Did he have that one?
At Lambeau Field. And I think that was the 4th and 26 year when against Philly also that year when Amon Green rushed for, like, you know, 170 yards. He had 4th and 1 at the Philly 41, and Sherman punted with B.J. Sanders. Remember that?
Yeah. You know, I was kind of thinking maybe Amon Green, but I didn't realize.
It was.
Okay.
If you look back, 04 under Sherman, it was a 99-yard run. It was the first play. Wow. There's that signature U-71.
Okay.
Play.
With Kevin Berry. Yeah.
Right. And then the 99-yard pass of Brooks was against Donnell Wolford, Chuck, on Monday night. It was a sluggo. It was a slant and go. He was wide open.
Remember that?
Yep. Donnell Wolford. Remember him?
They used to burn him all the time.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, so those are two great plays. But I'm going to give a shout-out to my driver, Danny, who's always listening to us. But anyway, here's the thing, guys. If Rodgers comes out and it's the same old with you know, him having, he's going to have the freedom like he always had under McCarthy. If he comes out and it's the same old, his next four games, and then next year with a new coach, and he wanted to. Rodgers wanted this. He didn't come on and say it, but he wanted this. Then his legacy is on the line, guys. It's on him, then. You know, Billy and I were talking about this, that he wanted the coach going. He wanted things changing. He wanted more freedom. He wanted to get the ball to Devontae. He wanted to do this. You know, he want the offense is work in progress. Well, now it's on you, Aaron, if it's come out in the same old. But, guys, I didn't hear that JerMichael interview. You want to give me a quick breakdown? Was he ripping Rodgers or what? I don't know if I can listen after 7 on.
Yeah, we're going to have some stuff. He, you know, he said he was kind of going to put on tweet. A tweet earlier today was what was he called? He said he was going to be uncut.
He said I'm feeling uncut this morning. Yeah. We'll have that for you coming up. He does say that he's a Rodgers fan and he's a McCarthy fan, but he did say some stuff about McCarthy that was a little surprising, which we'll hear from in about 10 minutes.
Well, he won a Super Bowl with the Packers, so he doesn't have too much to complain about, and he's got a $10 million insurance policy, so he's sitting back pretty. Guys, one of these days, let's have a Christmas drink. Can we do that? Can I buy for you?
Come out to one of our huddles.
I that's at night, Chuck. You guys are done around noon, right? Out of there.
Yeah, you want to do a nooner drink?
I'm not much of a day drinker.
What about a happy hour, Chuck? Like, you know,
All right, we can figure that. Maybe you know what? Maybe we need to have a get together like that. I mean, like I mean, a station thing where. You know, an afternoon. Maybe
where listeners can just come buy us drinks. I'm in.
Yeah, well, let's do it on a Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it on a Friday, yeah.
Yeah, I got to do game. Well, see, my game schedule settles down here in the next couple of weeks for PA. So, yeah, let's do it on a Friday, guys. I'll play some beers. I've got no problem with that.
All right, we'll figure that out.
The weekend. Talk to you soon with that.
We'll get some bar to have us out there so we can make some money off of this deal.
Yeah, this will never happen. Yeah. But it's a nice effort.
Hey, don't we? Hey, it's like when you talk, it's like when he asked, people you went to high school with or college with, oh, man, we got to get together sometime. I'm still trying to get back together with my high school buddies. We've been talking about it. The only time I see these guys are like one of our parents die at a funeral. That's the only time.
And then, depressing.
We're like, oh, we got to get together. Other than, oh, yeah, and we never do. Never happens.
Why don't you, me and my high school buddies have planned a date next month to all get together and play cards. So if we want that to happen, we have to plan it out 2 months in advance.
Do you really? Okay, yeah, I suppose.
So that we can all get there.
See,
do something like that. Play cards.
Yeah, I am not a poker player. I mean, I'll go play some two cards at the casino and play some blackjack, but I'm just not a poker guy. You?
I love poker.
Yeah, just not me. Just never have been. My dad was. Daddy said poker games in the basement all the time with the guys, but I just never got into it.
Well, that's my suggestion.
Yeah.
And best of luck. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins.
Thank you.
We'll hear that JerMichael Finley interview coming up, including where he thinks Mike McCarthy should land next. And it's not really the place that's surprising. It's more of the role, the position, or what the role is not. JerMichael Finley, Chuck and Winkler, that's next here on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. From the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Going to talk to JerMichael Finley, the former tight end for the Green Bay Packers. And the last time that JerMichael Finley was on our airwaves, I believe, was on the Bill Michaels show. J. Mike, you had told Bill at the Super Bowl, it was the Super Bowl week, you told him that only you told him 44% of your brain was shut down after you retired from the game. Before we talk about anything going on with the Packers now, how are you doing? A couple of years away from the game, you feeling good? How's everything going with you?
Oh, man, I'm feeling awesome, man. Couple years away, and man, very very content. And you know, man, I couldn't ask for more. Nice to talk to you guys now.
You know, the Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy. A lot has been made about the relationship. Was it good? Was it bad? What did you see about it? What did you see of it when you were in Green Bay?
I mean, I thought it was good. You know what I mean? McCarthy got 13 years out of it. When I was there in the course of that time, McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers, that relationship was awesome. You know what I mean? You had your ups and downs, of course. You got an iconic quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, and you got a coach with the alpha male that he is, and Mike McCarthy. So I thought the relationship was fair.
What I don't understand is if everybody's saying that the relationship was so good, where does this come from that people say it was bad between the two?
I think it's just time for the two to separate. You know what I mean? You got Aaron Rodgers who, you know what I mean, he's making $200 million. He's the head coach. He's the GM. He's the owner. this guy makes the calls. So that's tough for a head coach, you know what I mean, to succeed when you got a quarterback as your head coach.
There was a couple of JerMichael Finley here, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. A couple of weeks ago during a game, Will Blackman and Charles Woodson, they were all on Twitter tweeting about how when Mike McCarthy, you know, took the team on the road, and if you weren't winning, you were staying in some pretty bad hotels. And I thought that image of Mike McCarthy, you know, is a real tough guy, and you know you're going to get things done, and the players will respond to that. Then I read some of these articles. There was one in Sports Illustrated last week talking about how Mike doesn't have a good, he doesn't talk to a lot of the players. The relationship maybe changed a little bit. We're hearing from some former Packers. John Kuhn said that, you know, Michael McCarthy was great for him. No one's called him Michael McCarthy. We're talking to JerMichael Finley. How was your relationship with McCarthy over the years, especially as you were there for a while, 2008 to 2013? Did it change? Did it deteriorate? Did it get better?
For myself, man, me and Mike was like cool as a fan. I was one of his guys. You know what I mean? He was that guy that said, hey, he came to my locker prior to every single game and said, I need you this game, big fella. So it was one of those things I had with Mike. I'll go up in his office and have a coffee. He'll come to me right when I hit the door and say, big fella, I don't know what you're thinking ever. So I need to start seeing you consistently every day. So I start going to his office and hanging out. So I think he's a great coach. I'm a Mike McCarthy fan. I'm sorry.
Did a lot of players have that relationship with him, that open door policy?
No, I didn't see it. That's my honest to God opinion. I just think if you play ball for him, if you score touchdowns for him, that's your guy. You know what I mean? He's one of those guys. He's a guy. If you do something for him, he gonna do something for you.
Did it change at all? Did his? I just if I hear these stories about how, you know, connected he was, but then I see this article, and I don't want to read too much into one article because there's so many different people that have experienced, you know, relationships with Mike McCarthy. But when they say he's cut off from players and he can't relate to him, especially as coaches get older and then the players that in the league get younger, you know, you got 21-year-old guys with a guy in his mid-50s right now. Did you notice a change in him over your career there, or was it pretty steady for you?
For myself, I thought it was steady. You know what I mean? Just because of the relationship I had. It was a very verbal at practice. You'll know if he likes you or not. It's one of those relationships. I'm just being 100% honest. And I like I said, I'm a Mike McCarthy fan, and I will always be, man.
When you saw the news that it went down, were you surprised at all? Or because it seemed like it was coming at some point.
It's the NFL. I wasn't surprised. He was losing often. If you tell me, I would say, I mean, Mason Crosby has missed 3 or 4 big kicks. So I don't know if that's a Mike McCarthy problem there. You feel me? So and you get one of those. You get that. You get, you know what I mean? It's not all the head coach at the end of the day also.
Yeah, no, Mason Crosby's avoided a lot of criticism over the last few weeks. You're not wrong about that. Aaron Rodgers is getting a lot, though, JerMichael. JerMichael Finley joining us, Chuck and Winkler. Him and the play calling, when you were in that huddle, did plays change a lot from McCarthy to Rodgers? We had a report, I think Bill Michaels talked with one of the tight ends, that the plays wouldn't entirely change all the time. Sometimes just one route would, and he'd want to throw to Devontae. The play can stay the same, but I'm still going to change one route, and we'll see what happened. How much of the play changing happened with you when you were in the huddle?
It changed very, very often. My opinion, I call Aaron Rodgers, he's a mastermind, especially when he had the receivers, though. He got Devontae Adams, he's a dog. I say he has that dog mentality. So he don't have receivers like that anymore. He don't have the Greg Jennings, the James Jones, the Donald Drivers, where we can change one route and, you know what I mean, it's going to get open for sure. He only got one guy that he can trust on, and that's 17. So it changed often, man. But at the end of the day, we was winning so often, so you never heard these things come up.
You know, JerMichael, I don't think they've ever quite replaced you. They've brought guys in here thinking they were going to do it.
I think we said that the last time he was on these airways.
There you go. I like that thing. They thought now. That's going to be tough now.
Yeah, well, it is. But, I mean, they brought all these other guys. Like Jimmy Graham. Okay, he's had a couple of moments.
He's the iconic tight end. He was one of those tight ends where, You know what I mean? He played in a system where he got 100 balls a year. He got 12 balls a game. You know what I mean? Like I said, we had six receivers, brother. You know what I mean? It was you pray to God that you touch the pigskin in the first half.
But the tight end, man, if he's any good, he could be really productive in this type of offense. There's a need for an athletic tight end, isn't there?
Very true, man. And it's shocking me that a guy, a specimen like that, is not just been the top of the offense even before Devontae Adams. You know what I mean? We got Jimmy Graham here playing with Aaron Rodgers. This is I thought I'd never see this day.
I thought we'd never see the day some of these stats. JerMichael Finley here on The Fan. Aaron Rodgers so far this season, 31 completion percent when under duress. That's the worst in the league this year. 35 throwaways. That leads the league. More than 15 more than any QB. 35 throwaways.
Man, I'm not sold into it. He don't have the receivers. I don't think it's an Aaron Rodgers problem. We done seen it. We have seen it for years. I think the offense, he don't have an offense, man. He doesn't.
So I'm gonna give you four things and then rank them in order of why Rodgers looks worse this year. McCarthy's play calling, the lack of talent around him, Rodgers' injury history, and Rodgers just regressing because he's getting old.
I'm gonna say number one is the talent. I got to go to McCarthy. I'm going to go him being old. That's the last thing. I think he still has it. I think he's one of those guys where it's going to take him a long time to, you know what I mean, feel the age or whatnot. So I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan too, man. I'm sorry. I'm an Aaron Rodgers McCarthy fan.
Can McCarthy go to another team that doesn't have a Hall of Fame quarterback and get something out of it?
No, sir. Not at all. I think McCarthy is more of a offensive coordinator. He's a behind the scenes guy. I don't think he should take the head man job just because of here in Green Bay he had a system also. He had a quarterback, a system, and you just gotta follow suit. But I just think he's an offensive coordinator in any other system.
So you don't think McCarthy's head coach material anymore?
not after what I've seen after two or three years. It's just I don't see him just orchestrating the team right now. I just don't see it.
So if you went to Cleveland working with Mayfield there,
that's a team is totally rebuilding it. And yeah, I just don't see it, buddy.
Wow.
I don't see Mike McCarthy being at the point in his career where he would accept that fate, though. You know, if someone offered it, he could be offered an offensive coordinator job from all 31 other teams, and he'd say, no, I'm a head coach.
Yeah, he's got a huge ego, man. He's not going to, he doesn't want to be an offensive coordinator, right?
I know his ego big, but it's an ego, then it's realistic.
So with Aaron Rodgers, with the lack of talent around them, with the new GM they got this year, with a new coach coming in, how long do you think it will take for the Packers to turn this thing around to get to where they are now? To maybe being back to an NFC Championship game?
It depends. If you go outside, you know the Packers usually stay indoors with their head coach. It's a systematic thing. They just climb up the podium scale. So if I see Joe Philbin come in, I see Green Bay they rolling. They going to roll. But if you go outside the organization, I say it's going to take a couple years to rebuild and get things on board.
Okay, so you think they should stick with Philbin, or is there another guy you think they should go out there and get?
I say Philbin. I say Philbin. He's been there. He knows the tradition. He knows the, you know what I mean? He knows the players. He knows Aaron Rodgers really well. So why don't you just stick with him?
JerMichael Finley joining us here on The Fan, Chuck and Winkler. When you tweeted about this interview, you said, feeling uncut this morning. Is there anything else you need to get off your chest, JerMichael Finley?
No, man. I said all I needed to say, man. And you know what I mean? I'm a Packer fan through and through. I love my boys, and I hope they can get it on board next year because this year is done with.
It's JerMichael Finley joining us on the program here this week, and our thanks to him, of course. And we also talked to Don Majkowski yesterday. If you missed any of those, you can check that out on our podcast, 1057fmthefan.com. Click Fan on Demand, presented by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield.
I just feel like this whole season, it never really got started for me. It never did. It just never got on track. You know, the Brewer postseason went toward the end of October, and, you know, we were focused on a lot of that, and rightfully so. But, you know, this season just never got going. It never did, and it just never got going in a good way.
Yeah, kind of a wasted season.
Jeez, this is a lost season.
A lost season, and that's a shame, and there's a lot of different reasons why that is true, and one of the big reasons is Mike McCarthy, and he's no longer with the team, although he was with the team. Now, he got fired Sunday, and he was with the team on Tuesday, and he was with the team again on Wednesday. A different practice, very weird. We'll talk about that and get some of your reaction from Jermichael Finley's thoughts. One tweet coming in, Jermichael's all over the place. His opinion on Philbin and McCarthy is the opposite of almost anyone I've listened to. More of that kind of reaction, you can call in 799-1250. That was from P10 Paul.
What was funny about that is he's a big McCarthy fan. Jermichael said, yeah, I'm a big McCarthy fan. I'm a big McCarthy fan. And then he said, well, he's not good enough to be a head coach in the NFL anymore.
Yeah, no, that was, it was like he changed his mind.
Was the 44% getting to him a little bit?
No, okay. No.
Because on one hand, he said he's a big fan. That's his guy. And it didn't make sense when he came back and said, well, the big guy couldn't coach at Cleveland.
799-1250, 414-799-1250. It's Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
Yeah, for him to invest the past 13 years in this team, has given his heart and soul to us, and, you know, to have that kind of closure, I think it was great of the organization, Joe, Goody, Mark, everybody who allowed him to come in and kind of, you know, say his piece. So I know we really enjoyed it. I'm sure he did from a closure standpoint, and obviously we gave him the respect he deserved.
Yeah, he came in, we gave him a standing ovation, he gave his remarks, and then we gave him another standing ovation on his way out. What stays in that meeting room stays in that meeting room.
Okay. Yeah, what stays in that room stays in that room, but here's what we did, though. That's Randall Cobb, before that Clay Matthews, Chuck and Winkler. Here on The Fan on a Football Friday, this Friday and every Football Friday, brought to you by your local Pick and Save stores, where Wisconsin saves on groceries. Mike McCarthy back in the locker room, back at Lambeau Field, got fired on Sunday, then shows up on Tuesday, says some things to the coaches, maybe some goodbyes in there, and from my understanding, then he approached the topic of wanting to talk to the team. And Joe Philbin was cool with it. Murphy was cool with it. Patton was cool with it. Everyone was cool with it. And so he did. He came back on Wednesday and addressed the team, and they gave him a standing ovation, and there was some closure there. And it's all nice, and it ties a nice little bow on this whole thing. And then Aaron Rodgers talks nice about McCarthy, and Randall Cobb does, and Clay Matthews does, and that's great. But, like, where was that a week ago today?
You mean the support by the fan, the team?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Last Sunday, Randall Cobb then had no support for Mike McCarthy. Nobody else. I mean, I didn't hear the outpouring of support this week as there were in previous weeks. But now that he's gone, it's like when somebody dies, you hear all sorts of nice things about somebody. Even the people who are total miserable jerks, you hear nice things about. And in this case, McCarthy, man, you would think that, man, he's a god up there, man. The way they were talking about him this week, I didn't hear any of that last week. There's a lot of sad faces.
Like if you and I are going at it,
yeah,
and you go home and you're like, God, Bart is such a hothead. He's such a jerk. I can't figure out what's wrong with him. And then if I die, then you'd say, Bart was full of passion and life, and cared so much about the job.
And those bad words, man, you're putting it nicely.
I know, but that's what you do when someone
Freeman
passes
that,
away.
That SOB, he'd come in here every day. The chip on, I don't know what his problem was, but what a nice guy.
He's so stupid. He's always disappointed in me. He's always trying to, like, teach me lessons and make me better. Hey, Chuck died. You know, he was like a father figure to me.
Oh, don't say that. Please don't say that.
Older brother.
Maybe that way. Okay.
Yeah, I always looked at him as the older brother I never had.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he passed away.
Yeah. Like I've always said, I don't look at us guys at any of this. I don't. At a certain point, I don't look at guys us being older than the other or younger than. I don't. I really don't.
We should eulogize each other. That's a bit we could do.
Oh God, it'd be a little scary. I hate for it that happens someday, but yeah,
yeah, that might be too real. We're both unhealthy guys. Yeah, although you're trying, I appreciate.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm trying to work it out. I'm trying to eat better and all that. But it's a daily grind.
I'm going to the doctor today to see what's wrong with my stomach.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to the doctor.
What's wrong with your stomach?
Oh, I don't know. I just have issues with bloatation.
Oh.
Et cetera.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
ForHims.com.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a ForHims thing. This is a different thing.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah.
A regular doctor or a stomach doctor?
Well, I'm going to go to a regular doctor and then hopefully go to a stomach doctor.
Okay.
The last time I went to a stomach doctor, he said, you're bloated because your stomach rotates on an axis. Mm-hmm. And I said, that makes no sense. He goes, yeah, it happens in dogs. I said, don't they die from that? He goes, yeah, a little some. Okay, have a good one.
And that's the way he left you?
Yeah, that was like 15 years ago.
Oh, the medical field.
So I'm just happy I haven't died since.
Is your stomach still turning?
That's what I'm going to try to find out.
Okay.
If it ever was and if it still is.
I think you need to go see a different doctor if he tells you that analysis.
Well, that was a Fond du Lac doctor. I'm going to a Milwaukee doctor today.
Is there a difference?
Yeah. Well, Fond du Lac doctor was in a shed.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. And the Milwaukee doctor is in a, you know, huge.
Is that the one
hospital.
That was off Highway 23 up there? That guy?
Is that off Highway UU?
Oh, W?
Yeah, okay. It was in St. Peter, the Holy Land.
Okay, stay out of there.
My doctor appointment then was 15 minutes late because I had to get wait for him to finish operating on a cow, and then I came.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then he washed his hands, hopefully.
That I didn't debatable. See. I can't okay. deny her.
Well, good luck with that. That's a great way to start a weekend. Go on to get your stomach looked at.
Yeah, no, that's Friday. That's what we do here Fridays on the Fan. And then okay, somehow transitioning back. There's no effort that I'll put into it. Let's just go back to the Packers and Mike McCarthy. I do think it's weird. I appreciate that there's some closure to it. We talked about this last night on the huddle. Bill Michaels had said, you can't, once a horse, and he always talks about crap, so once a horse craps all over the place, mm-hmm. you can't put that crap back in the horse. Like, the Packers fired McCarthy. That was the thing they did. They did that. And now that part of it seems like they're trying to, well, hey, we're still the Packers, you know, we're still respected. And, oh, Troy Aikman doesn't like that we fired him midseason, and then he talked nice about it last night at the very end of the broadcast about how it was very respectful for the Packers to bring McCarthy back. And I appreciate the closure part of it, and that really, I appreciate it on Mike's behalf, because I think Mike McCarthy, while he knew he was going to get fired, it did take him by shock, and now he's the one that's away from the team. He's the one that needs to get out of town this weekend. As it was reported that he's going to do. He's the one that needs to lay low for a while. He's the one that needs to stay away. The players are still there. Life goes on for those guys. I don't know if they need the same sort of closure that Mike McCarthy might need. He gave 13 years of his life to that team. Some of these Packers, these rookies, maybe have only known Mike for 6 months. So I don't think the players needed the closure as much as Mike did. That's why I like this from McCarthy's standpoint, and that's why I don't like hearing some of these players say, oh, it was so great, we gave him a standing ovation. Look, you were asked last week, Randall Cobb, about if you lost the team, and you gave an answer that led to believe that it was true. Aaron Rodgers, all of a sudden, going out of his way to tell us how great Mike McCarthy was. These two hugged each other after meetings and told each other they loved him, and not just once or twice. Every meeting, Rodgers said. I think it's just they're laying it on a little too thick from inside that locker room. So it's a good gesture for McCarthy, but for the players, I feel like there's a lot of – we're getting a lot of smoke blown up the same butt that the horse crapped on us.
Yeah, it is. And maybe some of these guys – I'm not saying – Rodgers necessarily, but maybe some of these other guys who are saying all these nice things, you know, if McCarthy becomes a head coach somewhere, you know, they're leaving it on a good note because, you know, McCarthy will coach again, and maybe that's just another job opportunity for a player if at least say nice things about Mike McCarthy. Now, it's got to be odd. Now, if McCarthy was in town this weekend, all right, it would have to be weird because Green Bay, on a weekend, when there's a home game, it's just a different feel up there.
Shuts down.
Yeah, it's just like starting tonight, you know, and especially when they're winning. You know, people from other teams come in, the bars start to pick up, the scene, and then on game day Sunday, it's just always a different feel. How would you be if you're Mike McCarthy on a Sunday and, you know, you've been coached at this place for 13 years, you won a Super Bowl, and Sunday afternoon, you take a drive with the family and you drive past Lambeau Field, crowded Lambeau Field. Would just be kind of weird driving by that place on a place that you pretty much had control of. And now you're just a guy driving by Lambeau Field on a Sunday.
You got to get out of town.
Yeah, I would think so.
You got to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't know what, I mean, that's why I talked about this with you on Monday. If McCarthy, middle of the week, has a craving for Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm. And who doesn't?
True.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to order that in. You got to get Uber Eats on that.
Uber Eats.
You ain't going out in public if you're Mike McCarthy.
What
is Christmas shopping?
Drive-thru, maybe.
No, you can't even do that.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. But just like
all his Christmas shopping has to be done on Amazon.
It'd be tough going by Lambeau Field. I know that. And I mean, even during the week, it would be tough. It'd be just, you know, turning on the news or anything. Because again, you were a big part of it, man. You were a big part of the Packer organization. It wasn't like some player getting cut. Who, you know, maybe was there for a year or two. McCarthy gave his lifeblood to the Green Bay Packers.
414-799-1250. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. We are served up by Perkins. If McCarthy wants to go to Perkins, what's he going to do? See what the Packers have robbed Mike McCarthy of. They've robbed him of the delicious steak menu, where for goodness steak, there are a bunch of different steak-induced items on the Perkins menu, including the A1 Steakhouse Benedict, the steak medallions and eggs, the steak and tangler omelet, the steak and pepper skillet, and the steak medallions and shrimp. Basically, Perkins looked at their menu and went down the row and said, let's put steak in that, and then let's put steak in that, and then let's put some steak in that. You can get it all right now, the For Goodness Steak menu at Perkins. Today also, if you want some fish, if you want to go that route, it's a Friday fish fry. They do that every Friday after 11 o'clock all the way till close. Steak, fish, holiday pies, they got it all for you at Perkins. Maybe that's what someone can do. You can buy a holiday pie and send it to Coach Mack after he got fired. So we'll go back to JerMichael Finley's comments in a moment. He said that if he's going to be a head coach, he should probably look at being an offensive coordinator. We'll give our thoughts on that. And also, what if Aaron Rodgers plays like a god on Sunday? That'll make me mad for sure. We'll get your reaction just after 7 o'clock. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
I think McCarthy is more of offensive coordinator. He's a behind-the-scenes guy. I don't think he should take the hitman job just because of here in Green Bay he had a system also. He had a quarterback, a system, and you just gotta follow suit. But I just think he's an offensive coordinator in any other system.
So you don't think McCarthy's head coach material anymore?
not after what I've seen after two or three years. It's just I don't see him just orchestrating the team right now. I just don't see it.
That's JerMichael Finley, who we chatted with this week. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. I don't think that he would even consider McCarthy an offensive coordinator job. As we talked to Finley about after that, if 31 of the other teams said, hey, come be the offensive coordinator, I think this man is going to be a head coach. And wants to be a head coach.
Oh, yeah. And if he was an offensive coordinator, he'd be there for 1 year because someone's gonna give him another shot. Super Bowl champion coach, as he would say, a highly successful coach. He's got a track record, man. He's for winning games. The matter if it's, you know, Aaron Rodgers or not, who is responsible, he's going to coach again and get a head coaching job. He's going to get one of these jobs. And if he wants to sit out a year, he'll get another job next year. He'll get another crack at it.
Michael's talking yesterday, Bill Michaels, that the Browns are banging the drum, according to Bill Michaels. Banging the drum to try to get McCarthy into that organization.
Yeah. Not surprising, considering there was all, there's guys in that organization who know him pretty well. Lonzo Highsmith, Elliot Wolf, you know, you go on and on, some of the guys in that organization who really, really know him.
Well, some of the players, too. J.C. Tretter's there. And Demaryius Randle's the curious one because Demaryius Randle got traded.
He's the guy who doesn't want McCarthy.
Well, here's his quotes according to Cleveland.com. Mike McCarthy is a great, great coach.
Of course he is now.
I've got nothing but the utmost respect for him. I wish him the best. I don't know why they fired him. He's a good, good guy and a great coach. Randall was then asked, would you guys get along after what happened last year if he was hired here? Randall said, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he's the coach, he's the coach. I don't think that has much to do with us getting along. I don't think we ever had a problem. Me and him never had any type of problems. He's a great coach. I'd look forward to him being here.
Have you ever worked at a place where, or almost worked at a place where a former nemesis was? A guy you maybe didn't get along with at a previous place, or maybe a boss, and you had to go to this new place to work, or there was a job you're interested in, it's like, oh man, that guy works there, or that guy's in charge. Oh, I don't want to work with him.
You know what? I have not had that happen yet, which is surprising, mm-hmm. considering the amount of nemesises I have.
You have a string of them?
Is it nemesises?
Whatever.
Nemesi?
Yeah.
Nemesi?
Yeah.
I have a lot of nemesi.
Nemesises, yeah.
Yeah, no, it hasn't happened yet.
Broadcast business or other?
Any bit, it has not happened yet.
Okay.
I've been the nemesis.
You've been the guy who they didn't like?
When I was in Fond du Lac, I needed a job really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandma managed a hotel. And so I got a job there as a waiter. And one guy was like, the other man waiter there was so upset that he quit.
That they hired you?
Yeah.
So what was the problem with that guy?
He didn't like the nepotism.
Oh, he did.
Of which it was strong.
So in other words, it wasn't like a previous relationship he had with you.
No, I became a quick nemesis.
Okay.
No, but I can't think of one where I've disliked a guy or a girl, and then we wound up at the same place together.
There was a TV job that I wanted in Minnesota really, really bad back in the early 90s. I can't remember the town. It might have been, I think it was in southern Minnesota. I mean, yeah, working in Minnesota, but it was
Albert
like
Lee.
No, that's like a suburb of Minneapolis, isn't it?
Oh.
No, and the guy there who I knew from Eau Claire, and he was kind of jerking me around, okay? And then I eventually got a job at Eau Claire. All right.
He's jerking you around. Get back to the main story.
Yeah, the guy, I was trying to get a job in Minnesota, this job in Minnesota, southern Minnesota.
Mason City.
No, it was right near there, though. But, and he was just kind of, you know, he wasn't returning my calls and stuff like that. And he was just kind of, you know, next week. So eventually I got this job in Eau Claire. And the guy was from Eau Claire. And he eventually left the station in Minnesota. And he went back to Eau Claire. And he tried to get a job at the station I was up there. They were going to hire him. And I said, you know what? This guy, he jerked me around in southern Minnesota. I was trying to get a job. Don't hire this guy.
Oh, wow. You actively Wow.
Yes. And they said, okay, we won't do it.
I wouldn't do that. Yeah. Well, maybe.
Oh, yeah. The guy was a jag for just, you know.
Where is he now?
I don't know. But he was a former TV guy in Eau Claire. He went to be a news director in Minnesota and tried to get back into the building in Eau Claire. And I was like, this was like 1992. I said, so don't hire him.
Well, one more guess. Was it Mankato?
No.
No.
It was a place Dave Sinekin had worked, who works up in the Twin Cities now. It was the same. He had worked there at a previous.
Rochester?
Stuff. No, not Rochester. Something like that.
Though. Winona?
Not Winona. Small TV market. I can't think of it.
We'll figure that out at some point. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.